You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, February the 15th, and that is what they call a winning streak. It has happened before. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. That's all we ask of you here. The Pistons get a pair of wins, and Brother Brian has the recap of the weekend for you. We're also going to talk about the juxtaposition of a team win versus team tank. What team you should be on right now, but I'll also tell you why you really shouldn't worry about it quite yet. We're also going to look ahead to Tuesday night. I've also got a query for you guys later on. I'm going to ask for your help. We don't ask much because I know that there's a lot of Twitter trade GMs out there, but we'll look for your trade proposals involving one number 23 of the Detroit Pistons a little bit later on. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Matt Shook. Give Brother Brian, show contributor extraordinaire, a follow as well at bshook12 on Twitter, and also the Play Michigan account, play_Michigan, for all the latest in online gambling and other gambling news here in the great state of Michigan. A little bit of a programming note: today is a holiday as we record this on Monday morning. However, because of that, And we're going to be talking about Tuesday night's game, and we're going to be skipping a Tuesday episode. Give your boy a little day off here to celebrate all those great presidents of the United States. President's Day, it just doesn't get any more special of a holiday for me. My family, we all get together. We share our memories of all the presidents of the past. We pass around the president peace pipe is what we call it, and we've just been doing it forever. I know you guys probably got your own President's Day traditions that are very sacred and near and dear to your heart, so we wouldn't want to interrupt those with more Pistons podcast. Of course, a little bit in jest here. But no, we will not have a Tuesday episode. We'll come back to you on Wednesday recapping the Spurs game and also moving on with the week here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But the Pistons got a couple more big wins over the weekend on Friday and Sunday. Reason to be excited in Pistons land. And here's Brother Brian with the details.
This is your Pistons game recap.
Right, nearly lost it. Bay.
Oh! Kidding me! Are you kidding me? Celtics did everything all the way to the end. I mean, there's no space. You challenged the shot. But I'm going to say it once again. Sadiq Bey, 7-for-7 from three.
We are discussing something we haven't yet on a recap. A winning streak. The Pistons messed around and took both games over the weekend, beating Boston 106-102 and then coming home to beat down the Pelicans 123-112 on Valentine's night. Good shooting from the floor, especially from deep, timely defense, and surprising individual performances from unlikely places were the keys to both of the wins. Friday night in Boston, Sadiq Bey showed the league just what he was capable of, to the tune of 30 points and a team-high 12 rebounds. Off the bench in his first career 30-point game and second career double-double on 7-of-7 shooting from 3. He is the first rookie in NBA history to make all 7 of his 3-point shots in a game. DeLon Wright continued his good backcourt play, tossing in 22 to go along with 6 rebounds and a team-high 7 assists. While Jeremy Grant added 15 points and Josh Jackson had 14 off the bench and were joined by Blake Griffin, who played in his first back-to-back this year, forced to because of injuries to Jahlil Okafor, Mason Plumlee, and Sekou Doumbouya, left the Pistons without without much depth in the front court. Griffin responded by scoring 16 and tossing 6 assists. Boston got big games from the usual suspects. Jason Tatum's 33 and 11 rebounds were coupled with Jaylen Brown's 27 points to do the bulk of the Celtics scoring, as they were joined by Daniel Theis as the only Celtics in double digits. Mason Plumlee was able to return in a big way for a Valentine's Night matchup against a Pistons ex, Stan Van Gundy, and his New Orleans Pelicans. Griffin took the night off and Plumlee picked up the first triple-double of the season for the Pistons with 17 points and team highs in rebounds and assists with 10 each. Josh Jackson's team-leading 21 off the bench gives him double-digit points in 8 straight games. Svi joined Jackson off the bench with 18 points of his own. Sadiq Bey continued his hot shooting on 4 of 8 from deep, while DeLon Wright turned in another impressive performance. And although Jeremy Grant is in a bit of a shooting slump, he was able to contribute double figures along with those two. The Pelicans got 26 each from Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram, and 13 from Steven Adams and Lonzo Ball, while also getting 10 off the bench from rookie Kyra Lewis Jr. The 123 points against New Orleans are the most the Pistons have scored in regulation this year, and they have scored over 120 points in 3 of their last 5 games. Detroit was able to cover the BetOnline spread both nights, and while the under came in on Friday, the over was a comfortable bet all night Sunday. Detroit gets ready to host the Spurs on Tuesday night in Little Caesars Arena in a game we will preview later in the show. This has been your Pistons Game Recap.
Detroit Basketball!
A lot of fun for Pistons fans over the weekend, and feel free to enjoy it guilt-free about your tank situations and fantasies, as the Minnesota Timberwolves and Washington Wizards also got wins on Sunday. The Wizards topping the Boston Celtics, and Minnesota knocking off the Toronto Raptors there. So not a lot of damage done so far this weekend. Pistons 8-19, one game ahead in the standings, behind in Tankathon World. Always confusing how to phrase that. Behind Minnesota right now, the worst team in the NBA at 7-20. The Washington Wizards at 7-17, technically ahead of the Pistons in the standings, although the winning percentage is a little bit lower, higher, I don't know. Pistons and Wizards are essentially tied, and the Minnesota Timberwolves are a game below the Pistons in the standings. I've talked about how it's important that the Pistons be the worst team in the NBA when talking about the draft projections. However, it's more fun that this team is turning some sort of corner culturally, some sort of corner competitively, and some sort of corner for a fan base, myself included, that has been starving for these kind of victories as time has gone on in this past decade. We will take it. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but just wanted to kind of reframe where we're at here. The Pistons have 9 games left until the All-Star break, the end of the first half of the season. That 9-game stretch begins with another home game on Tuesday against the San Antonio Spurs, and then a 5-game roadie coming up after that. All those games pretty winnable, in terms of they can win those games, not great world-beating teams. But the Pistons are 2-11 on the road right now this season. So at Dallas, we'll be certainly underdogs in that game. They'll be underdogs in all these games, but certainly in a major way against the Mavericks and Doncic on Wednesday night, second half of a back-to-back there. Friday in Memphis, and then the Sunday, Tuesday, a little bit of a doubleheader in Orlando. Back-to-back on the schedule, not back-to-back days. So Sunday and then the day off on Monday. Tuesday again with the Magic, one of the worst teams in the NBA as well. And then the rematch with the hungry New Orleans Pelicans, who will be looking for some revenge on Wednesday the 24th. Pistons back home for 2 with Sacramento and the New York Knicks after that. And then at Toronto on March 2nd to close out the first half of the season. 9 games remaining in the first half for the 8-19 Pistons. Again, those 9 games, you could see wins coming in any one of those games, any 2, any 3, or 4. It looks, if they play as well as they did this weekend, they could go 5-4 in these games, and we're having different conversations at the end of the first half. But we also know that the Pistons' talent level is not very high right now, and they're going to be underdogs in pretty much all these games. Although we'll see. Maybe they will be. San Antonio coming to town. LaMarcus Aldridge has been hurt a little bit. We'll get Brian to give us the preview on that one. Maybe we'll have the Pistons as favorites for the first time, I believe, this season. We'll check with him on the numbers there. But this is going to be an interesting stretch of 9 games going into the first half, and it's going to kind of color what we think of this team going into this week off. You know, is there a world where this team still really gets its act together on a consistent basis and has more Josh Jackson nights like we've seen lately? Sadiq Bey fills it up consistently. Svi on a little bit of a rebirth here. You know, get into that 10th seed. And I know it's probably not the best for the organization. It's certainly not the best for the future of the organization. But, man, Dwayne Casey and these Pistons had a great weekend. And anything is possible, as Kevin Garnett told us one day several years later. 538.com is the Pistons at 23-49 in the projections this season. That would be the second worst team in the NBA. The Wizards the worst at 21-51. Pistons just below the Cavaliers with 24 wins, the Timberwolves with 25 wins, and then the Bulls with 27, the Thunder with 28. Those are the olive green teams we're talking about. I'm going to leave the Kings out of the mix right now, but Bulls, Thunder, Cavs, Timberwolves, and Wizards. If you're scoreboard watching, and you should be, watch for those teams. I'll throw the Magic in there too, because I could see kind of a late season trades and whatnot coming up there. But let's talk about the emotions of following a tanking team that might be picking up some wins and how we should all feel about that. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first,
it's Bang the Over Brother Brian, and you know what I'm here to talk to you about. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Yes, sir!
We're covering everything you need to know about the Pistons, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcast. We had the great Stan Van Gundy in town on Sunday night. I don't know about you guys, but I feel comfortable speaking for Pistons Nation to tell Stan that he was wrong before the game on Sunday. He says, "We love Detroit, love the time living here, great place to live, especially in the summer. He regrets that we didn't win enough games and get the job done that we were hired to do. I'm with him so far there," end quote. But as Stan Van Gundy was a true Michigander. He stayed in Michigan in the offseason, lived up in Clarkston there. Even after he was fired, he stayed up there, was a summer Michigander as well, even in the offseason. Went on to say, "I love the fans in Detroit. I realize most of them don't like me, but I wanted to do everything I could for them," end quote. Again, I'm here with you, Stan. Most of the fans in Detroit, we love you. He's being self-deprecating as always, but I do hope in his heart of hearts that Stan Van Gundy knows he's beloved here in the great state of Michigan. And sure, it didn't happen for us as a fan base, and maybe there are some of you out there that are harboring hard feelings on Stan Van Gundy. He came here with a big job to do as the president of basketball operations and also the coach. Didn't get it done, but no, I'm in Stan Van Gundy's corner and always will be. Moving on to the here and now with brighter futures seemingly ahead for this franchise. I got a message for Pistons fans to remember today as we're basking in the glory of our first winning streak of the season, an 8-19 team right now. When you're watching this team play, especially against some of these nice teams, these playoff teams that they continue to beat, don't cheer for the losses, Pistons fans. There's going to be plenty of time to tank. Cheer for your team to win. Don't feel bad about it. We'll deal with the ramifications later. Come, you know, the last 20 games of the season or so, I'm going to be right with you guys, cheering for the losses. We're going to be jockeying with those final teams on the list, talking about lottery position, draft position. We talk about it here on the show. It's a daily podcast about the team. But root for those wins during games. Do not feel guilty about it. And some of the reasons for that couldn't be more pronounced than watching the team across the court on Sunday. A couple of reasons about the Pelicans. We'll get into those in a second. But no, don't fret. You know, this is a 2-11 team on the road. Got a road trip coming up here. I'm feeling pretty comfortable saying that there's no
prolonged winning streak coming up on the horizon. And don't blame Coach Casey. He's coaching his ass off right now. It's not on the coaching staff to rig losses right now. Although, with March 25th's trade deadline coming up, it might be up to the front office to make some tough decisions on some of these guys. Certainly, you're going to expect Wayne Ellington to be shown the door if there's a team still interested in him right now. It's gone very cold for Wayne Ellington. Maybe all those stories and talks about how great he was looking for a while don't look so good in retrospect. I told you guys to temper that enthusiasm as we went along. But yes, explore some trades if you're Troy Weaver in the front office. Maybe more guys than you might have thought were assets than a few weeks ago when they weren't playing as well. Everyone on a rebuilding roster should be on the market, should be up for discussion. And I mean everyone. Of course, your Sox would have to be completely blown off for Jeremy Grant right now at 26, and a guy who chose to come to Detroit. It's got to be a godfather offer. And I'll be the first one to say our Lord and Savior, Isaiah Stewart, should not be on the table right now unless, again, your socks are completely blown off. But everyone else, sure. See what Svi and Sekou can get on the market, even young guys like that. Sadiq Bey, who has Pistons DNA. We love Sadiq Bey. We saw what he did on Friday. But if some team wants to overpay for that shooting, maybe some team believes in the Josh Jackson rebuild. Again, I'm not condoning going out and shopping these guys to the point where it becomes obvious that you're trying to get rid of them. That's not what we're doing here. But you listen to offers for a rebuilding team on everyone. Let me do one wet blanket thing. It wouldn't be the Locked On Pistons podcast without a little bit of water being tossed in the fan base. First off, Mason Plumlee, just been outstanding lately. He's exceeded my expectations pretty much all season, but especially lately, he's been off the charts. Thought the elbow injury might slow him down when he comes back. But his first triple-double of his career on Sunday night, outstanding work by him. I guess famously, not in my radar, but there was an article that everyone's passing around late night on Sunday on Twitter about someone wrote in when he was in Denver that only a matter of time how many triple-doubles Mason Plumlee would get. 4 years later, he finally got the first one of his career. Famously, I guess. So famous that I hadn't quite heard about it, or maybe I don't remember. But, of course, my radar is different than a lot of you guys out there. But here's my wet blanket that I'll throw on the whole thing, my one negative thing I'll say today. If Mason Plumlee was on a one-year deal, even a two-year deal, I think he'd have real value right now to teams like New York with Mitchell Robinson going down and still trying to get into the playoffs. Portland in the middle of their annual playoff push. Yusuf Nurkic is out for a while. Injuries for them. The Brooklyn Nets need a center right now to get hopefully better than DeAndre Jordan, but certainly someone to back up DeAndre Jordan. But even as it sits with Mason Plumlee's three-year deal, which we've talked about on this show before, as you might recall, you could probably dump him for a neutral value, but that's like a second-round pick, a low second-round pick at that. And you shouldn't trade a guy you signed to a three-year deal for a second-round pick. That's not good business. That's not good karma. And I don't think they should do that. So I don't think he's going anywhere this month. But maybe he spices up some certain deals. You never know. But again, trading a guy who chose Detroit for a second-round pick is bad karma. But speaking of karma, let's talk about lottery karma. It has happened before with not non-tanking teams getting rewarded by good karma by the NBA ping pong gods. And that's the first reason that you shouldn't be rooting for losses during games. It doesn't guarantee anything. With the smooth lottery odds, the three worst teams have the same odds, but the 4, 5, 6, 7, it's not all that bad. The Pistons are due for some luck as well. They have never moved up in the lottery. The Darko pick was Vancouver moving up in the lottery. The Grant Hill pick at number 3, that was what they were. They were actually the second worst team and moved down to 3, if I recall correctly, as well. And the New Orleans Pelicans, they didn't tank, and they got Zion Williamson, who was supposed to be a transcendent player. And the proof was right out there in front of us on Sunday. He played well. This year, Minnesota, the third worst team, they get Anthony Edwards. And then 2019's draft, New Orleans, the seventh worst team, gets Zion Williamson. We know the math. We know the numbers. But we, of course, know that it's better to be worst and second worst on lottery night, as you guarantee that top 5 pick if you're the worst team and top 6 pick if you're the second worst team. But doesn't guarantee anything, as we know. And what about those Pelicans? Let's extrapolate this a little bit. They hit the lottery twice with transcendent players like Anthony Davis and Zion Williamson. And those players, if you haven't noticed, are in their primes or reaching their primes in their NBA lives. And what's going on in New Orleans right now? Why is it not working in New Orleans? Why does it look like this team is stuck in the mud? I don't really know if they're trying to win, if they're still trying to build. It's a franchise that's stuck in something right now. And that's the second reason that you shouldn't root for losses. It's because their culture, right? Their culture's not quite right. Ownership, front office, coaching staff, it's not quite all moving in the right direction right now. Their defense right now as a team is atrocious. This is a bad defensive team. The Pistons have the seeds of that planted with the culture. They're the seeds of that planted with the defense with guys like Jeremy Grant and Isaiah Stewart, and hopefully more names to come in the future. Sadiq Bey doesn't hurt on that end as well. New Orleans is a weird mix of players at different stages of their careers. They're not all moving in the right direction. Detroit needs to move everything in the right direction. You get right now work on Jeremy Grant, some of his late game reps. His adjustment to becoming the number one focal point on a team is something that's going to be coming over this next rest of the season as well. Build the confidence in the careers of guys like Stewart and Bay and Jackson, who continues to grow on me every single day, talking more junk than anyone in the league, loving Detroiter Josh Jackson on this team right now. This is fun, and we shouldn't be standing in the way of occasional wins, and yes, the occasional short winning streak. Think of the losses that will come and will continue to come as kind of a win-win, right? It's a nice consolation prize if they lose games. And that's something that you should be rooting for during a game, especially except maybe some of these Olive Green games. Those are games that maybe you should root for the tank in general already. But in general, don't cheer for the tank. Enjoy the ride. We will deal with the ramifications later, and we'll figure it out together here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But up next, Spurs coming in town on Tuesday. I don't know if you remember them from 2005, but Brian's got the details, and I'm also asking for your trade proposals on number 23. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Got to tell you guys about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. The old ones were great. The new ones are even better. The improved Built Bar, even more delicious. The six new flavors are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Add those to the 12 OGs. Flavors such as banana bread and German chocolate. I am getting hungry late night, although I'm not going to delve into it tonight. You better know the first thing in the morning, I'm going to be getting that Built Bar. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew. And the healthy nature of Built Bars are the second best thing behind the taste. They're great for the health conscious guy. You lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. And it gives you energy to get you going throughout the day and also to calm down and not hit the bad energy, the bad calories late night like I know you do. These bars are low calorie. They're low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for the keto diet, whatever kind of diet that you're on these days. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Listen to Locked On NBA on Mondays. Josh Lloyd, host of our wildly popular Locked On Fantasy Basketball, takes you around the NBA's major headlines with the help of our local experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast today, wherever you get your podcast. Brother Brian has the details for Tuesday's opponent as the San Antonio Spurs are coming to town.
This is your Pistons game preview.
The 8-19 Pistons will try to extend their season's first winning streak to 3 at home on Tuesday night against San Antonio. Detroit has won 3 of their last 4 games and look to improve on their 6-8 record at Little Caesars Arena against the 16-11 Spurs. San Antonio's coming in on a 2-game winning streak, and coach Greg Popovich has his team sitting 3 games atop the Western Conference's Southwest Division. They are led by guard DeMar DeRozan's 20 points and 7 assists per night, while also getting contributions from a lot of players, as they have been without LaMarcus Aldridge since the beginning of February and have had to fill in that scoring void with several people. As a result, Dejounte Murray, Keldon Johnson, Patty Mills, Rudy Gay, and Lonnie Walker IV all averaged 10 or more for the Spurs. The two teams split their season series last year, with each of them winning convincingly at home. The BetOnline info for this game hasn't opened yet, but follow Locked On Pistons on Twitter for all of that info. This game will tip at 7 o'clock at LCA on Fox Sports Detroit and 97.1 The Ticket.
This has been your Pistons game preview.
Derek White also back in the lineup for the Spurs. Only played 8 games this year, but he is rolling right now. Back in the lineup, had 25 points on Sunday in a win against Charlotte. But the rumor mill is flying around this weekend. Reports out there that the Pistons might attach assets to explore a Blake Griffin trade. We will break down the reports, how realistic we might think it is. What we would recommend here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, I don't know if that means picks and or young players, how much you'd have to attach, what might bring back in a trade, but I'm open up the floodgates for you guys. I say bring it. Bring it to us, listeners. I will have some thoughts on this. We will talk about this in depth later this week, but I want you guys to send me your trade machine proposals. Send a screenshot of your trade ideas that involve Blake Griffin and unloading his contract to the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. I will give my thoughts and also have some ideas on my own. I'm opening up the floodgates for trade deadline Twitter, sometimes a scary place to be. But give us your ideas, and we will dive in later this week. Remember, no show tomorrow, taking President's Day off, a very sacred holiday for your boy. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. Thanks again to Brother Brian, as always. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys on Wednesday.